Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, you guys? What up, what up, what up, what up, what up? This your boy, PDP. Man, government name, PDP Richardson. And right now, I'm getting back to my roots. Yes, back to my roots. Back to the day one started, man. We are actually in a pandemic. Yes, the coronavirus is taking over the U.S. of A, so a lot of us is at home. But you know what they say, man, the grind don't stop. If you don't grind, you don't eat. You know what I'm talking about, man? So when I say going back to my roots, going back where the wind comes right behind the rain, Muskogee, Oklahoma. Some of you guys have heard my testimony, has heard my story, coming up out of Oklahoma, playing for Texas Tech, and then from Texas Tech going to Disney, then being on the radio, being number one, and owning my own business. And now I feel like I have to go back to my roots. And when I say go back to my roots, a lot of people don't really know the background that I come from, and that's just coming up out of the gutter, coming up out of the hood, out of Muskogee, Oklahoma. But you know what they say, man, the best way to be successful is helping other people be successful. And this is where this guy that I'm about to introduce you to basically saved my life when I was 8 years old. First, it was Mr. Ron Carter. He came and picked me up one day when I think I was like 7 and a half or something, and to go try out for the Rolos Rangers. Rolos Rangers was a baseball team growing up. I was already on a team growing up in Muskogee, Oklahoma, played for a team that just didn't really care about, like, winning, as I would say, because we was young. You know what I'm saying? We was young growing up, and my mom just will send me over there, and it just didn't seem right. But I had the love for the game. I'm talking about the game of baseball. I had the love for the game, and one day my mom came home to Meadowbrook Apartments right there in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and was like, "Son, I got you a tryout." I was like, "Mama, with who?" And she said, "Rolos Rangers." I heard of Rolos because Rolos was like the best team in the league then. And they was all black. So that's something us black kids will look up. And I remember seeing, now his name is Nick Carter. I will see Nick Carter run from first base to center field. And I was like, "Oh, I know I'm way better than him." And which is crazy, man, because I remember that thought, seeing the Rolos play, and then fast forwarded to that next year to my mama saying I had a tryout. And my mama told me I wasn't going to make it. And I did every day. Before I got on the Rolos, I would go outside and toss the ball up high as I could in the air and catch the ball, because I knew I could catch, and I knew I just wanted to play baseball because I knew, like, what my kinfolks and them was doing to get me up out the hood, right? So long story short, mama told me I wasn't going to make it. Went out there, tried out for the Rolos Rangers, made the team, introduced me to this man right here who had 5 consecutive 20-win seasons for the Muskogee Lady Ruffers. And he retired in 2016. Right when he retired, he went to state, I believe, four out of five, the last 5 years, I believe. And we're going to get into that. But that was after he has coached us in Little League Baseball, went to West Middle School, coached some great athletes, great lady athletes there at West, and progressed into Muskogee High. But prior to that, he was at Olathe, Kansas. This guy is one of the reasons why I'm here today, Mr. Doyle Rowland. How's it going, Coach?
Well, it's going great, Pete. It's going great. It's certainly good to hear from you. It's a pleasure to talk with you. And man, it's good to be alive. With everything that's going on in the world right now, we truly are blessed just to be able to get together and chop it up about old times.
I know that's right there, Coach. And we're going to get into it. Coach Rolo, I call him Coach just because, you know, that's what I know him to be. Didn't really know his real name, Doyle, until later on in life. And Mr. Rowland, where did you start out at? Did you start out there in Muskogee with the Manual Bulldogs?
Yes, sir. I was a Bulldog for 4 years here in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Played football, played a little bit of basketball and baseball. I went on to further my education. I went on to Oklahoma's only HBLU, which is Langston University, and graduated in 4 straight years. Playing any sports when I was there, although I worked for the football coach that was from Muskogee. So I left there after I graduated, and I moved on with my wife, and we moved to a suburb of Kansas City, Olathe, Kansas, where I became I was a teacher, graduated in education, and I became a teacher there, and I guess coaching was my calling. Working with children, period, was my calling. So I suddenly got into that. I started coaching in 76 in Kansas City through 79. And I knew then I had a desire, that little burning feeling inside of me that I wanted to keep doing this. I wanted to further this. So shortly after that, I decided my parents were old, and I wanted to get back and try to take care of them and get back to my roots. So I decided to move back to Oklahoma in 79. Went to work for Union Pacific Railroad. Continued coaching, though. I continued coaching with my middle son, Dawes Jr., and I worked with them, took them to the state, as a matter of fact, in Chickasha, Oklahoma. And I got them, took them as far as I could take them until they got into junior high and decided to go football, basketball, and baseball. So I said, well, I've done my job with them. So I opened up a barbecue place, and beginning it was great. It gave me a couple of avenues that I could continue work with kids with. So I started this team, Rolo's Rangers baseball team.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop you right there, coach. Okay, because when you talk about Rolo's barbecue, I'm already getting hungry. But but you say, so you majored in education. Coming up out of college. So, but prior to you going to Langston and growing up there in Muskogee, what made you want to major in education? Like, what drove you to that?
My mom was a teacher. I had three aunties that were teachers. My sister was a teacher. My brother was a teacher. And I had about three cousins that were also teachers. So we just came from an educational family. I just wanted to continue that. And I like working with kids. Like I say, evidently that was my calling. So it was calling me there. So that's how I eventually went ahead and majored in education at Langston.
Oh, okay. I see right there. You come from a background of teachers. When they like, hey, yo, Doyle, you're going to be a teacher? Nah.
Oh, no. Nothing like that. But actually, to tell you the truth, I wanted to be a truck driver at first, and then I got to thinking. I said, well, I'm doing all of that, and if I pursue that kind of a career, I won't get to do some of the things I want to do because I still love sports. And I wanted to be as close to sports as I could. And teaching was that other avenue that helped me get there also. It was just one of those things to where every direction that I went, it pointed back to working with kids. It pointed back to working with kids. And so that was my calling, and that was the direction I took.
Man, I can completely understand that because just with this coronavirus that's going on here in 2020, and only thing I can think about now is getting back to my family. You know what I'm saying? And getting getting back to the town to where people helped me out. Well, people like you, people like my grandma, like my mom's, my pops. And that's all I can think about, because I'm like, dang, what if they get it and I don't get to see them again? Because now I'm way here in Lubbock, Texas. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I commend you for going back. You know what I'm saying? And they're in 79. But I want to ask you, and I know you was a soul brother. You remind me of Bernie Mac. You remind me of Samuel Jackson when he was in Shaft. You remind me of everybody pretty much. So how was it growing up in the 70s?
Actually, Pete, it was remarkable. It's hard to describe because during that time, we were right in the middle of integration, and the black community was so close. We were so close. I mean, if I'm walking down the street and I'm doing something that I'm not supposed to do, then it wouldn't be nothing for a neighbor to come out and give me a whooping. Oh, thank you. And then call my mother and tell her that I'm doing something wrong. The community was just so close. And then when integration took place, then it kind of split us up. It split us up to where things, we weren't as close with all our neighbors, with all the other people. We didn't know everybody in the town. So it was a change, but it was a good change. And it's also split up the school system. So that made us, some good thoughts and then some bad thoughts as well, because, you know, that ugly word of prejudice had to stick its head up, and that caused a few problems. But we got through it, and the 70s was out of sight, man. It was great because a lot of the kids that we knew, we all wanted to go to the same colleges. We wanted to go to the same school. We wanted to stay connected. So it was really good. It was really, really, really a good time in life for me.
Okay.
And
I can only imagine.
Say
that again, sir.
I say I cherish those moments because those moments were truly remarkable and outstanding for all of us during that time. So.
Oh, okay. I completely understand that.
Right. It helped make us, man. So. It just helped me continue my journey, and I went on, like I say, from there I went on to Langston, and that was an experience in itself. It was, you know.
And Langston, like you said, the only historically black college there in Oklahoma, and coming before we get to Langston, and you say that's how me and you got something in common right there as far as integration goes, because you were coaching. When we was in sixth grade at West Middle School, so in seventh grade, you know, that's whenever the seventh and eighth grade West and AR integrated, you know,
right.
And becoming a seventh and eighth grade center, which was becoming one, and West Middle School turned into Benjamin Franklin. So we have something in common there because you guys went from the Manual Bulldogs to the Muskogee Roughers. So let's take it to your freshman year at Langston. You say you didn't play sports. That's just whenever you decided to go to school. And in the 70s, how was it on campus? And I know your wife. She cooked one of the best pork chop sandwiches. And I still remember the day to when you picked me up one time. It was me, Duke, and John. I was like, yo, I guess I'm gonna go ahead. And I was like, straight dog who finally got some food. I was like, hey, I'm gonna go ahead and grab that pork chop. You know. But I want to know, how was it your freshman year coming from Muskogee, going down there to Langston? In the 70s, how was it, man? I just want to know the atmosphere and how'd you stay focused?
It was wild, believe me. It was truly wild. But it was truly great because of the fact it reminded me so much of my high school before integration. Because everybody wanted to know everybody. And that's saying a lot for a college campus. And we all, everybody got to know everybody. The teachers, we had small volume classes, and even the teachers knew every student. Every student knew every teacher. You wasn't just a number. You were an individual. So it was awesome. That was the greatest move I ever made in my life, was attending Langston, because it really, really, really taught me a lot right off the bat. It learned me so much about so many different things. And then, of course, we had great times, too. You know, we had the party, you know, and the parties were outstanding. And it was just like homecoming was like a bouquet of flowers. I mean, it was just everything was beautiful, all different colors, all different shapes. And it was all great, man. It was super. And it was one of those places that you really almost hate to graduate. But, you know, you got to move on. Life goes on. And I continued those 4 years. I pledged the fraternity Alpha Phi Alpha my 4 year. And it was just great, man. Everything fell into place. We got to know everybody. Everybody helped everybody. The teachers would help you. They made sure you graduate. It was probably the only school that I know of, only college, that actually, if you weren't doing the things you were supposed to do, the professors didn't have a problem with calling your parents long distance. So, I mean, it was that kind of homeliness feeling. You know, it was just, like I say, it was just a carryover from my high school days. And it was easy to graduate. I focused when it was time to focus. I partied when it was time to party. But I really, really made a mark in my life. It was the reason where I am today.
I can see that, man, because that's something that I continually think about, especially us young black men, is because nowadays a lot of people say you don't have to go to college, you don't have to finish, and things and that, especially coming from a small town like Muskogee, a lot of people get away from their foundation, and then whenever they do come to a place of a school where they came to school or play sports or whatnot, they let them outside influences come in, but then it's not till years later that they feel like, dang, I should have went ahead and graduated, just because they haven't figured out that niche. And so with that being said, coming from Langston, everybody pretty much being black, and the whole aura or the whole, like, wanting us as people to succeed was really much stronger back then.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I tell you, people, and I still recruit to this day for Langston, students going to Langston. And that's one of the first things that I let them know is, if you attend Langston University and you want to graduate, you're going to graduate. The teacher, the professors and the advisors and so forth, they're going to give you a direction that you can't go wrong. If you follow the path and follow their directions, you're going to graduate. You attend class every day and you do 3/4 of your work and get it in on time, and you're going to graduate. It's just no doubt about it. They're going to see to it that you graduate, and that's what I loved about that place. They told me the first day I came on, Doyle, if you go to class every day and you listen to other professors, you're going to graduate. It's just no simple, no way around it. And I did. It was one of the greatest achievements in my life. And I will always love the place. I will always recommend that school, because I know if you go there and you take care of business, you won't have any problems in graduating.
Man, I'm a firm believer of that, and I heard the same thing coming down here to Lubbock, Texas, playing for Texas Tech. And here's a fun fact. This is just something that just popped into my head. One of the reasons why I got into radio, man, this guy's name is LaShawn Vation. He ended up being my roommate. He was a safety here at Texas Tech. And this is whenever I knew I was different. It's because this dude, even though he graduated, so just let me say this. He graduated, but he came up to me one day, and he was like, Pete. I was like, what's up, man? He said, did you realize we can make D's and still pass and play football? I was like, well, why would you want to do that? You know, he started laughing after he said it. But like I said, he graduated. But it just put me in the mindset of some of the people who was recruited to play football here, but not just here at Tech, but anywhere. And people find out that they can do the minimum and still get by. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, being around people who look like you, talk like you, and sometimes the same attitude like you, how did you know when it was pretty much time to go home, when you knew some people was going to be acting the fool?
Well, that's where your upbringing come in, you know. My mom was pretty strict on, hey, when you go to Langston, I know people like to party outside. If your grades don't come in where they're supposed to be, then you coming back and you going to the service. And at that time, that's not what I wanted to do. And that was my little extra motivation to, you know, I'm going to party. But I got a test the next day. I'm going in and taking care of business first, because I can always come back and party on the weekend or something to that effect. That little bit of upbringing, well, not a little bit, a whole lot of upbringing that mom put on me and my brother and sister, that would always kick in when you wanted to just continue and you knew it wasn't the right thing to do. It would flash and say, hey, girl, you better go take care of business first. And I did. And that helped get me through. That would stop me from going that extra mile when I know I didn't need to. So thank God for her, and her upbringing that helped me also get through that.
Man, I hear you on that. There's a movie called Pootie Tang, you know, with Chris Rock. That's an old school movie where whenever he would go to like take something or do something bad, you know, he would get his parents in his voice, and that would make him not want to do something, you know, do something bad. That just means he was just like, nope, don't want to do that. Just like how you said, man, he was like, if you messed up there at Langston, you was going to go to the service. And that's pretty much how I'm raising my kids now. It's like, hey, you don't go to college, you're going to the Army. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like you need structure in your life. If not, you know, especially growing up as a black man, there's too many other influences out there. And if you don't have that foundation and upbringing, then you will go astray. And sadly to say that we know what happens to us young brothers. But Coach, I want to ask you this. Your senior year at Langston, prior to you going to Olathe, did you take internships to become a coach? How did that situation come about?
That situation came about with a guy by the name of Coach Schultz, the head football coach at Langston University. They had just went and finished second in the NAIA championship down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And so we went to that game, and I worked for him. I did work study Coach Schultz. Plus, he was from Muskogee. He knew me, knew my family and all. I would sit and talk to him and pick his brain. And some of the things that he taught me and told me that the rewards from it, he told me you'll never get paid what you think you ought to get paid for doing this, for the hard work, for the times on the bus, for the practices and the tour days and all of that. He said, but the fulfillment you get when you see your students or proteges or football players walk across that stage and get their diploma and then go on to greater heights, it means so much. It means so much. And that's what I did, and that's where I got my coaching from. And those were the rewards that I only looked for. I didn't look to, you know, surely I made a little extra money coaching during the years, but it was nothing like the time and the effort that you put into making that team be successful. You don't get paid for that. You gotta get your rewards some other way, and that's what I done. I look at you guys now, and that's the reward I got right now. looking at you, looking at Chubb, trying to Chubb's kind of following what I've done. Now he's in coaching. I look at Mario that had a rough time after he got out of high school, but now he's found himself and working on the pipeline and doing great. You know, those are the rewards. Every one of the guys on that team, and we'll talk about that a little later, to me, was a success. And that's the reward you get. I didn't get paid for it. You know I didn't get paid for food, all you hard heads that low. But that was the reward I got. That's the only little reward I got is seeing you right now, seeing John right now, seeing Nick right now, Braylon, Luke, guy, all of you guys are doing fine. And that's the reward you get. I developed some young men that will and have become great citizens, great fathers. You know, that's the reward you get. I don't get, you know, I didn't get paid for that, but that was the success that I got, and that's the success that I look for.
Facts. Yeah, man, I completely understand, and yes, you did. You molded us, and I didn't even really know the word mentor at that time, because you spoke life into me and to all of us, and to where, and we all pretty much from the same place, because I know whenever you would come pick up me to go to practice or whatnot, you know, you coming from one side of town to another, and then it's a car full, and then we all jumped up out of the car to go to the shop, and it all came from you and your positivity, your ambition, and wanted to see us, not just wanted to see us, that you knew that we could be good, and this is a group of all black kids playing baseball. You know what I'm saying? Not football, but playing baseball, like to start out with, to help us build that foundation. And so with that being said, you moved from in 79, you came from Olathe, Kansas, and then you come back to Muskogee, working for the railroad. And so why did you choose the railroad job? Was you just waiting for some teaching to hold up, or you knew some good money in there? So why did you go there?
No, I was already teaching. No, reason I chose the railroad, once a Saturday, it's pretty funny. I was sitting in my living room, and we were watching football games, and my wife's cousin came by from Kansas City that worked on the railroad. He was a conductor. And we were sitting there talking, and he said, "Man, I tell you what, I'm sure glad we got paid this week and blah blah." And I said, "Well, man, I only get paid once a month. I'm missing mine." And so he said, "Well, that's okay. You'll get enough to tide you over for the whole month." And I told him at that time, Pete, I was making somewhere in the neighborhood around bringing home actually around all $550 a month. And that was with my education and all. And John was sitting right there, Henry, and he whooped out his check, and for 2 weeks, he had made $2,500. 2 weeks now, $2,500. He was a conductor and had been out on work train, and he got paid, you know, a lot of overtime, too. It was included in that. But either way, $2,500 as compared to $500, 2 weeks as compared to 1 month.
1 month.
I told my wife, I said, "Baby, we might have to make a change." And that's when I called Muskogee. I called Muskogee, and they were hiring on the same railroad. They were going to hire 12 employees that month. So I got up and come to Muskogee and put in my application. 2 weeks later, they gave me a call, and the rest was history. I'll come on back to the railroad and work there for 12 years until they got ready to move our terminal to Fort Worth, Texas. My dad was old. I enjoyed doing what I was doing. Because I was coaching, I got into coaching then again.
Yeah, that was with Bird, then, right?
Right. And I didn't want to make that move anymore. I said, hey, I'm home now. I done went off and I've had my feel of the big city and all of that. That's great. Okay, if you like. But I much prefer a smaller town and my family. And so I moved back here. This is where I stayed. And it was a plus. It was truly a plus. And so I just continued to stay here. And when I stayed, I took the buyout on the railroad because I didn't move with them. And it gave me enough to open up my barbecue business.
And what's a buyout mean?
Buyout means they buy your seniority. I had 12 years of experience in the railroad, so they gave me what they call it, buy your seniority up. And it's basically just a package, a financial package they give you to go ahead and separate from the company. And mine at that particular time was in the neighborhood around $50,000. I said, okay, that's fine. No problem. I said, because I still got my education, you know, and I still got my family. I got my home. I got everything I need to go from here. And that's when I opened up the barbecue business, and I went right on.
And this is what, in the late 80s, or was this the early 90s?
That was in the early 90s.
It was 50 in the early 90s. In the early 90s? Ooh-wee! 50 G's today.
Yeah.
That's really good money, and you say that's what got you into the barbecue business. So this is what I'm sure a lot of people want to know. Word. Did the name Rolo's Barbecue come from?
Well, it's funny you ask that. Before I left Kansas City, I had a friend up there that I used to kick it with all the time, and he was my buddy. And he gave me the name. Instead of calling me Doyle Roland, he just used the Rolo. Because one day we went in the store, to believe it or not, And I went and bought a couple of chips and some pop and so forth. And he said, man, I'm going to grab me some candy. And Retro went and grabbed one of these little things called Rolo. Little old piece of candy. My name came from that right there. And I've been Rolo ever since. And that's how that name came about. Matter of fact, he's the one one of my sons they named. He gave Doyle Jr.'s name because he was born premature and looked like a little bird. He called him Bird, and he's that name still with him to this day. So that's how the nicknames sometimes come
up. Wow.
But yeah, that's how
man, Rolo that's some crazy
about.
Stuff right there.
And,
that's very intriguing too, man. I always wondered that, man, because just to fast forward, I mean, we gonna keep that going. Just this memory just popped up in our head, well, in my head. You remember, because we would change colors pretty much every year whenever we would do Little League baseball, and the year we decided to be gray and maroon, and we were so excited. We were so excited because I believe that was the year we had belts or something like that. But that particular summer, me and Chubby would go clean up Hat Box and go pick up all the cups and stuff. So we had a game. Before one of our games, I'm picking up trash with this white kid, and this white kid goes, he's talking to me. And I was like, why are you so upset, man? And he goes, man, we have to play the Rolos today. And I was playing, I was acting like I didn't play for the Rolos at the time. I was like, the Rolos? I was like, why are you scared of them? He goes, man, they show up at the park at the same time. They walk in at the same time. And they always win every game. And I was like, oh, really? And then he goes, yeah, man, I might not show up. I was like, man, I play for the Rolos. And then he was like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, man. And because, you know, we hated showing up to the shop before the games. We hated, like, because we would see the other teams just show up to the park. You know what I'm saying?
Whenever
so,
they get ready.
I don't know. Yeah,
yeah
I don't know if you knew this.
If you know,
but
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. You said I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, like it's something. Like I don't think you, Coach Ron, or Coach Durrell knew this, but all the players, like you know, Duke, Braylon, pretty much everybody. It was mainly me and Chubby because me and Chubby knew like how the other teams would just come in with their flip flops, but we always had to like meet up, and we hated like why we gotta walk in at the same time, why we gotta do this. But now that I'm older, I understand that, and that's what I make my team do. You know what I'm saying? It's because, but as a young kid, a kid don't understand the bigger picture of it. And so what
right.
I want to ask
right.
is, like, why did you make us do that?
Discipline. Discipline. You said something just a little bit earlier that made me, that brought this up too. Discipline. Because you said something, and I'm going to come back to that. You mentioned about if your mom said if you didn't do right, and I said if I didn't do right, my mom said I'm going to have to go to the service. Well, so many of
right.
us, our kids, our young black youth, would grow up without fathers, we would grow up without a whole lot of discipline, and that's where they got the discipline was when they went to the service. Believe it or not, Pete, I kind of hate that they ever got rid of the draft because the draft, if nothing else, it made sure that all the kids, I mean, when you went into service, when you come out of there, you knew discipline. And that just carried on to me in my mind. So when I started coaching, and I did that all the way through the high school, even like my high school girl, when we would walk in there to work in the school, you and I and those kids would walk inside, then we'd all be in a line. We'd all sit down together. We wouldn't be up throwing our hats around and gloves and all that and playing around. We're here for business. We got some things we got to do today. Now, once we get through, you guys can jump and kick and holler and do all you want. But right now, let's focus on the business at hand. And I've carried that with me, Pete, all the way through coaching with Little League, Junior High, and High School. And it works. And so I took that and I put it in you guys. And that's why when we were walking there, because let's face it, a lot of people was expecting us because of who we were and because of our color. Oh, they're going to come in so ghetto. They're going to be doing this. And they'll be cursing. They'll be doing this and that. And
right.
And doing all of that. But when we came in the stadium or we came in, that was why I was such a stickler with me. Because discipline carries from the parking lot to the dugout to the field. You can't just all of a sudden come in, not our kids, and just, all right, we're going to be disciplined now. We're on the field. No, we're going to start it right now, and we're going to carry it to the end of this ball game. And then if you want to be a little bit undisciplined, get right after. But this is what makes men. And I thought that, and I still believe that, and that's the way I coach. I watch as much people like Nick Saban at Alabama. Bill Belichick with New England. That's a little bit of discipline on both of those teams. And look how far those teams have went over the years. And you know they've coached some fools. You know Alabama has coached some fools that could be a little bit different. But by him being the guy he is and what he'll tolerate and what he won't, you're going to act like you're supposed to right now. So I just believe that, man. I'm just a strict disciplinarian. I think it carries over to the field, and that's why I got it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man, I'm glad you did it that way, and I'm glad that a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, that's on our team but just to we believed it, because whatever you were saying, you know, we believed. And I just got and Chubby just chimed in, and Chubby, what's going on, man? You there?
Yeah, man, not much, man. I just woke up. What's up, Coach Rollo?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm can't complain. I've been sleeping in, man. I just woke up.
Hey, man, that's what that COVID-19 will do to you, man. You a head coach up there at Bacon, so shoot, you know, they done cancel school, so you can make it do what it do.
Yeah, I need this rest.
I know that's right. So, Coach Rollo, so what made you say you was coaching before you opened the restaurant?
Yes. You know, I coached Dahl Jr. and his bunch, and I coached them to stay in Chickasha, Oklahoma. And then I come back, and that's when I started the Rollos. And that gave me an avenue, too, because with me having a barbecue business, I was able to write off certain things. I was able to get you guys new uniforms every year. I could write some of that stuff off because, you know, I'm donating it to you guys. And then I had time to do the things that I wanted to do with you guys. So it worked out pretty good because I was able to coach the way I wanted to coach. And it was a plus.
Yeah, man, that's the reason why I asked that, man, because that was brilliant. You got the Rollo's Barbecue, and you have the Rollo's Rangers. And why the Rangers? Are you a big Texas Rangers fan, or, like, why did you choose Rangers? Because they're both R's?
Well, to tell you the truth, at that particular time, I really think I chose Rangers because of the Texas Rangers, but I would also look at not the Texas Rangers baseball, but just the Texas Rangers period. Yes, because they were an authority over, you know, over the communities, or like the state troopers and so forth. So I don't know. It sounded good and it felt good. And I liked the way what they stood for, and I said, well, hey, we're going to be Rangers. We're going to police this league right here. And so we ran the league. And that's what we did. You know, we ran the league. That's why you think, and I got to send a shout-out to my coaches, Ron Corner and Darrell Crowder. You know I got to say something about those guys. I couldn't have done all of that without those guys, too. Those guys helped me tremendously. And I was telling Chubby the other day when he called me, he was saying something. I said, don't forget to lock and load.
There it is.
you know, that's a big
thing. Whatever you're going to do. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, guys, when I was coaching my high school girls, I even used that statement a few times. You know,
I used a
big game against Jinx or Broken Arrow. Hey, baby, you better lock and load.
Uh-huh. So, I still do.
I know that's right. So, hey, with that being said, you were saying a business move, man. And as I was reading up on you, I see where Mr. Sylvester Owsley has passed away. And I want to say condolences out.
I was going to mention him today. Old Cut.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Old Cut. He used to call me Cutting Pete.
That's it.
Hey, Coach Rollo. Hey, Coach Rollo.
Uh-huh.
Hey, a lot of people don't know this story. I don't know if you know this story, but Mr. Owsley. Hey, Chubby, where did we go? Frontier City?
Frontier
where was we
City.
At?
Yeah,
Frontier City. Okay. I think we're on our way back from Frontier City. And there's a picture on Facebook that I believe JP had posted a couple years ago, but it was me, Chubby, Duke. Who else
Braylon.
Was it?
Braylon. And I think Courtney was in there with us.
Yeah, Bulldog. Bulldog was with us. You know how Mr. Owsley was in them overalls, right? So we just, at this time, Coach, we just know how he is during the game. You know how he was just like, Ray Charles to the scene, that. You know, he was. That's what he brought to the team, excitement and stuff. So when we in the van with him coming back from Frontier City, you know, especially me, I think I was the main one loud. We singing, we loud. He talking about, shut up, you can't sing. I'm going to tell your parents.
He wasn't having it.
I talked to him just a few weeks ago, and he still cherishes those moments that he got a chance to spend with us and the team and the excitement that we brought to him and everybody that was around us. So it was truly a blessing. And I hate to see him go, but he was truly fun to be around with us.
Yes, man, and he really was. May he rest in peace. And when it comes to Coach Ron and Coach Durrell, because with you coaching Bird, I believe you had a different set of coaches.
Yes.
And so how did that second wave of coaches come about? And how did you guys put the team together?
Well, Ron and I started first, and we discussed some things. And where he was working, he could help me out a little bit financially as well as being there, you know, to help coach. And then we picked up Duke, you know, and then Durrell showed up. And he just wanted to be a part. He started out as, hey, coach, I'll be the bad boy. I'll be, you know. But now you know a little more about the games and all of that, so we want you to be a part of the thing. And, you know, he had some problems he had to iron out during that time. And we hopefully we helped him some with that. But I needed bodies, too. I needed bodies because I couldn't do it all. You know how it is, Jeff, coaching baseball. You break it up into groups and things like that. And, you know, you needed that. So he fit right in. And his son was a big part of the team, too. Duke was an outstanding ball player. We wanted him a part. And one thing about him, Darryl, he wanted to try to be a disciplinarian as well. So he tried his best and done his best, and so I was proud to have him. And with them three, and we got along real well. We got it done. So,
man, yes, you guys did.
Good group to work with. But I was tremendously happy and proud of that little team. I was tremendously happy and proud of that team. We were winning already, if you remember, when we were eight. But we couldn't get over the hump to win the thing. And then finally, Luther gave in and let Chubby come on over because we needed a third baseman. And we didn't have a third baseman at that time when we first started. And when Luther finally said, okay, well, Chubby's going to come on and play with y'all, that done it. That put our team, you know, together. And every position I thought was pretty solid. And we went on from there. That was big.
So what you're saying is Chubby was better than me.
No. Not because you had to play catcher. We had to have you a catcher. We didn't have another catcher. We had Braylon, but, you know, Braylon just couldn't come out of there and throw that ball to second base like we wanted. So I'm not saying that. I'm not saying nobody on the team was better than we needed this one more than we needed that one. We needed a third baseman. We didn't have one. We had a catcher. That was you. I couldn't put you on third and catcher. So that just solidified what we needed right there, and that helped us so much. When we done that, then we took off. Yeah, that's when people got afraid to play it.
I remember that.
Yeah,
that's,
man.
Who had them? Braylon jumped up and robbed that home run.
Yep.
Yeah, Coach. Yeah, Coach, you remember that? When we won that state tournament down there in Muskogee?
Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. That was, and here's a fun story, man, because, you know, I played with you guys, I believe the first year of 8 and under, the year before Chubby came. I was telling Chubby this the other day. And So going into that second year, you know me, I was in the streets. And I remember clear as day, Coach Allen. I'm riding my bike with Coco. I'm with Allen, and I think I'm with all the day with the Chapmans. And Coach Allen rode up on me when I was in New Jack riding my bike and was like, "Yo, Peter, we got practice." And I was like, "Oh," because I remember I forgot all about baseball and wasn't even thinking about, like, even playing no more. You know what I'm saying? Because I was just trying to have fun with them. But Coach Allen rode up on me, took me to practice, and Chubby was there. And then I got home, and my mama was like, "Boy, Coach Rolo and them been looking for you." And that's when she told me about Chubby being on the team. But a lot of people didn't know, man, Chubby was already pretty much best friends.
And that's how
I feel. And that's why I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and go on out there. Chubby, we all knew Chubby could hit the thing. He could swing the bat. And then that's why I was like, well, you know what? I knew. That's when I knew, like, we was going to be good and beat those Cowboys.
It wasn't the Cowboys at first. They were another. They changed the name. The Braves at first. And that was one of my biggest accomplishments with you guys I don't know how to this day I pulled it off. Was able to take you guys as many places as I took you. Went to, you know, playing those tournaments and those World Series ways off, and then have enough money to take you to amusement parks, stay in the hotels. I don't know how I done that. I'll be honest. To this day, I'm wondering how in the world. Although Braylon's mom helped me some too, and Elisa, but it was just a struggle, and I don't know how I pulled it off. How I was able to charter a bus and take you guys all the way to Shreveport, Louisiana, to the World Series down there, stay in the hotel, and then we probably would have had a chance to win it. But my son, John Paul, and Pete doing something stupid in the room, and he come up hurt. And now here we are, Chubby in the World Series, and we ain't gonna have a catch.
John Paul slammed me on the bed.
Man, I'm still mad at him behind that. I walked in that room and looked like a tornado had been through it. And I'm like, oh my God, my discipline didn't work right then. I'm trying to let myself down.
We had too much free time in the room.
Too much free time when we went down there. And that is tough, as you see.
Don't blame JP. Blame Bird. Because, you know, Bird had us into wrestling. Because when we wasn't playing baseball, we was wrestling.
Well, that figures. Because
he was
at that time. That's all he talked about. Big Show and all of them. Stone Cold Steve and all of that. I guess John tried to perform some of that. But anyway, it hurt us. That hurt us.
Indeed. Hey, I remember clear as day, Coach. We won every game. We won every game down there. I believe we was the talk of the town down there. In which, ironically, which is crazy, I remember taking a team picture at the Baton Rouge, at the LSU, was it the baseball stadium?
It was the baseball stadium. I got it on my wall.
I did not know that until, like, down the line, about 10 years later. That was actually LSU field.
That's where we was. Right there.
The opening ceremony there. I remember that clear as day. And now just talking to Coach Rolo, you know, and to where his history with Baton Rouge, you know, and then fast forward to years later, he's coaching in the World Series they're at Baton Rouge. So I feel like that was really intriguing with that. But yeah, Coach, yeah, JP choke slammed me on the bed and I messed up my wrist.
Moving on to the kids, you both. I'm telling you, I was so
hey, didn't want to tell nobody.
Hey, but no, that's not the end of it though. That's not the end of it, cause it was Chubby and AJ playing too.
Oh, don't tell me about that. I didn't even know about them. Don't tell me. I'm gonna have no now. Don't tell me.
We was all in there, man. But that was a really good moment. And with the Last Dance with Michael Jordan, them, that documentary of the Chicago Bulls that's going on right now. You know, it's a 10-part docuseries. That's what that reminds me of. Whenever we was 12 years old, going to that World Series. And I remember our last game, man. They was hitting home runs on us, but we all pretty much knew like that was it.
Yeah.
And it was sad, but at the same time, I know just for me, I was like, I probably would never, even no, I've never experienced nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Since like that camaraderie, you know what I'm saying? Just how we were. And Chubb, like, how do you feel about that?
Man, shoot, it was a great time, but I loved every bit of it. Shoot, I had a good time the whole trip. You know, I just, I thought we really had a chance to win it all, too, after the way we were performing. And that high level,
which was crazy.
We'll play at a high level for you. Controller,
yeah.
That's right. We was good to go. Them pre-practices before the games, they worked out just right. Because now, you think about it, that's what you do in high school at each level anyway. You work out.
You sure
do. Facts. Yeah, you were working out. Man, go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, those were some great times. And I tried to put everything that I knew, everything I could muster, and everything that I was taught, and things that I just watched and saw other teams do, I put it all on us. I gave it everything I had. So that's why I don't have any regrets on any of it, because I gave you guys all I could give, including finances, including knowledge of the game, everything. And I was sitting here last night, believe it or not, and I was filing some T-shirts and stuff away. And guys, I'm looking at right now probably around 7 different jerseys. Every year, I bought you guys a different color uniform.
Yep. Brand.
Remember
that?
Yes, sir.
Brand new.
Yes.
I mean, from yellow to purple to pinstripe
to,
1 year.
Oh, yeah.
And
the pinstripe to blue to navy.
We had
to yellow. They used to call us the Bumblebees. You remember what Tristan did, Chubby's older brother, you know, that's what he would always try to clown us and stuff. Even though I think we would have beat Right Rebar, though. I think we would have beat them. But that's just my opinion, though.
They didn't want them problems. No, they didn't want them problems.
We had too much speed.
We had a lot of everything. So they...
Yeah, we did.
We had a good little team. And it just carried over, man. I hated to see y'all go. But like I said before, the main thing that my goal was to make sure that you guys were good citizens, you had everything you needed to succeed to the next level, and you guys did. It might not have been in baseball. It may not have been in basketball. But whatever level you chose, the direction you took, that playing with those Rolo Rangers helped you get to that next level, because it was just a matter of, I know my place on each team. I know about hard work. I know about discipline. So I know how to get things done. So I'm very proud of that, though, those moments I had with you guys during that time, as well as two guys before we go. I got some girls that I coached at Muskogee High School and at the junior high level too as well. So that one team in junior high, when I first
That's exactly
left
what I was about to get into, Coach. That's exactly what I was about to get into. It's because after we was 12 and we came back to Oklahoma, and this is where I believe your ambition, your positivity, just who you are as a person, just has like pretty much bled over the whole town of Muskogee. It's because you went from coaching us, pretty much a select team, West Middle School. I believe they were in the eighth grade. Brittany Lashley, Keisha Gray, Renata Morgan.
Right.
All Brittany, of them. You Brittany, guys were like, you guys were off the chain.
But don't forget this either, though. Just before I started with them, a few months before I started with them, I took you seventh grade football players, and we went and won the city championship against AR.
That is right.
And I had that great – I got a picture. That trophy was about 6 foot tall. It's taller than I was. And I was trying to pack it off the field. Y'all had to help me get it off the field. And that was a great time too. And that was football. And then I turned around and that's when I started coaching Brittany and Keisha Gray and Rose.
Yes, Rose, Big Rose. Boy, she was like a mini Shaq back then.
Yes, she's like a doctor now, and I think in Shreveport, somewhere in Louisiana. It was great. Them girls, they went that first year I coached, that year, they went 20-2. And it was amazing. And I didn't know if I could even coach girls. You know, after coaching you guys all the years, you know, I said, well, and they offered it to me. I said, well, I'll do it. I said, I don't really want to coach seventh grade because I'm going to coach these seventh grade boys in basketball. They said, well, would you take the eighth grade girls? And I said, well, I'll take it. And we'll see where it goes. And lo and behold, these girls were awesome. And matter of fact, after the eighth grade year, Keisha Gray and Brittany both went to the high school and started for the varsity and took them to the state.
They sure did, man. And Davis, man, them girls right there, when I say they could ball, they could ball. And that's crazy. You said they went 20-2 in eighth grade. So you fast forwarded to, I believe it was, what, 2013? Or was it prior to that? Because I know your first year at Muskogee High with the Lady Ruffers, you guys only won two games. But then after that, how did you guys rebound from that?
I don't know, Pete, because of the fact – well, one thing about it, I brought my girls with me from the middle school, and they were rookies. They were freshmen. I already had a varsity team, so I had to go ahead and coach the varsity. They were full of seniors. Well, you know, when you're a senior and you bring in a new coach, that's kind of tough because, you know, they're used to doing things another coach's way and so forth and so on. And that didn't mesh with me too well at all, you know. And so I couldn't turn them around, and I couldn't coach them like a Rolo team. So I ended up 2-22 that year. And, man, that liked to kill me. I like to become an alcoholic. Shoot, I couldn't stand that. And so the next year when they graduated, a lot of them graduated, and my girls that were ninth graders then became sophomores, that's when the ball started rolling. And that next year, I even won the Shrine Tournament that second year with Felice Davis and Melanie Walker and that bunch. And those were my girls also. Then from there on, 6A was mine. I run it for quite a little run, and then when I got Aaliyah and Jada Ford and those girls up to the high school and Kelsey McClure.
So Aaliyah wasn't a part of that group yet.
No, Aaliyah was younger than that group. Aaliyah and Jada Ford, Trina Mims, all of those. That was my last group before I retired. The first group was Melanie Walker and Celeste Davis and those girls. And then once they got on up and graduated, then I had the second crew come through. That was Kelsey McClure and Rudell's other daughter. And then I got them through. They didn't get to – the first group got to the state. Then the next group, Brittany and those girls – I mean, Kelsey and those girls, they fell one game short of getting to the state. We got knocked out by Booker T. Then the following year is when I had Deanna, Big Deanna. She was 6'4", and those girls, went. We didn't lose, but
to
two
the finals,
games,
right?
We went to the state. Yeah, we went to the state with those girls. So that was two times in the state. Then those girls went on through, and that's when Aaliyah and them showed up. And when Aaliyah and them showed up, we start running the table.
Took
on
it
everybody.
Over.
Yeah, we lost in the finals, double overtime to Broken Arrow. And that.
Woo! How was that game? Because I was reading up on it. And. Woo! I was just like, how was that? Like, how was the atmosphere in my career?
The atmosphere was great, man. We had Muskogee behind us. I mean, man, matter of fact, Pete, they would give us the police department, give us escort service in and out of town on those games. And, I mean, man, it was electric. It was really electric. Those are the two hardest losses I ever suffered in my life, even when I played in the state championship and lost in high school myself. That hurt. But these two losses, and they took the cake. After that second loss, we lost in the semifinals, and I don't complain much about the refs and stuff like that, but that was the worst I'd ever seen it, and we were truly the best team in the state, without a doubt. And we lost in the semifinals of the state on that one. And you not know, I hate to even say this, but I got the tapes of those games over there on my dresser right now. You not know I haven't watched those two games. I have not watched them since that day. That hurt me so bad, man. I couldn't. That was the toughest losses I ever had. So, but
man, I completely understand that.
But I'm proud of one thing about all of that time at the high school, guys. This is one thing that really, and Chubb, this is you coaching. These are the rewards you get at one time in high school. Just before I retired, I had 10 girls playing college basketball at the same time.
Right, right.
Oh, wow.
Three of them in D1. I had them in junior college. I had them in NAIA. I had 10 at one time playing college basketball. And to me, that's more rewarding than anything, man, because – look at, I've given these girls a chance to go to college free,
right,
and get a free education and play the game that you love. So that's what it's all about, guys. That's coaching in a nutshell.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you took it right out of my mouth right there. I was going to ask you how many girls did you think that you had to play college basketball. So with that being said. Up in the game, and I completely understand that why you don't watch those tapes, because I know, man, it's still even hard for me to watch football. And my son now, I play Madden. I just started back playing video games. So, but as far as like watching football, I didn't start back watching football until I believe 4 years ago. I just started back playing football video games. And my son's favorite player is Felix Jones, because that's from 2010.
Oh, really?
Yes, and you know Felix Jones, me and him was the two best running backs, and he was like, he goes, I bet you he's faster than you, and I'm like, boy, I almost slapped him in the mouth, but he don't know like the he don't know, like, what we've been through back in the day. I just told him, I was like, you know, I played against him in high school, you know. And I was like, you know, my junior year, I was number one in the state running back. Senior year, I got hurt. Felix was number one. And he just, he took that. And now whenever he plays with Felix, he was like, I bet you he's faster than you. And he made it to the NFL.
Yeah, I tell you what would be nice that you could, you need to do, and I don't know how you do it, but maybe if you call our AD, which we got a real good AD now, but he's a brother and he's really nice. You ought to see if you can get a few of your more tapes on some of your best games that you can remember, because I'm sure they got them archived over there, and you can probably get a few of those and just to put them in your library. So you at least just have something to show your son, you know, down the road sometime. And I'll tell you something else. You said you just back started watching football. Well, mm-hmm. It's time for you now to take the next step. You need to give a little bit back. Remember what I was telling you. Don't just give it to your son. Give it to some other kids as well. Because, see, I didn't give baseball just to John and John Paul or Dawg Jr. I gave it to the community, all you guys. And I tried to give it to as many people as I could come in contact with. Basketball the same way. I didn't have no girls playing ball or nothing like that. But I knew it was my time to give something back. And with enjoyment in the process. I enjoyed it as well. I enjoyed it as much as they did, as you guys did. But I knew I was doing something that's going to help somebody down the road. So don't forget that, whatever you do. Champ, I like what you're doing. You're already starting to do that. Keep doing what you're doing. If this one don't work out where you're at right now, keep doing it somewhere. Keep giving it back. And those blessings will come back to you down the road. I promise you. They'll come back to
you. Right. I sure appreciate it. But you know how it could be a grind in this coaching field. But shoot, I'm in it to win. I love it, man. Love every bit of it.
Because you just get beat down, and then all of a sudden you have one game and you say, well, I'll be darned. These nuts are actually trying to learn something. They actually trying to play ball. You know,
right,
and that's
right.
The reward. That's the only reward you get. You ain't getting no bonus fee. There's no bonus paycheck. But you just get that feeling inside of you, dang, I've done that. Man, look at this boy running. Look at this boy doing this and this, or this girl doing this. Dang, I made a difference in this kid's life, you know. So that's what it's all about, brother.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. But before we wrap it up, Coach, I was reading a quote. After you guys had took that loss in the state championship game in 2015, you had saying you just know whenever it's time to go, whenever it's time to GO. So how did you come up with that decision to go ahead and retire?
Well, Pete, to be honest with you, I had done everything in coaching that I wanted to do, but that one thing, and I got to the, like I say, to the finals in double overtime. From achieving that. That's as close as you can get without getting it. I didn't think it would be probably another 4 or 5 years before I could get to that point again. And I had touched enough lives. And then during this time, I didn't tell you this, during this time I was coaching in the finals of the Tournament of Champions in Tulsa. We in the finals. I just beat Fort Gibson in double overtime, in overtime the night before. And we getting ready to play East Central for the championship. Well, I've been having problems with my hip. And so I said, well, let me go to the doctor and get a shot in my hip because it's been bothering me a little bit too much. Well, I go to the doctor to get a shot in my hip, and they couldn't put me under. He said, I can't put you under, Mr. Rowland. He said, your heart's beating too slow. He said, you're only beating 36 beats a minute. Should be 72. He said, you beat half of what it should. And I said, man, I got a game to coach tonight. Don't tell me that. He said, well, you don't need to coach it because your heart could, you know, you could pass out. I mean, and go down. And I said, well, I'm going to have to get through it. So I went on to coach that game. and the next day they put a pacemaker in. And they put the pacemaker in.
Put it on your chest.
In my chest, no problem. But that was him up there telling me, hey, you done had enough now. You've done enough with her.
Mm-hmm.
Let's save a little bit. So if you got grandkids or something like that, you can maybe work a little bit with them. You've done your time. And that was it. That was it. And my wife even said, told me, too, that, hey, baby, you've been out there long enough. You've been doing this for over 40 years. That's enough. When is enough enough? And I've been blessed with you guys and those you know, different kids, and so, man, when it's time. And I knew it was time. And so that's why I backed it off. Now I work with my little granddaughter in softball. That's all I do. And she's at 10, well, she was 10. She just turned 11, and she's pitching the ball at 50 miles an hour, over 50 miles an hour. So I said, well, baby, I'll hang with you. Me and you hang. And so we working together. I'm working with her, but that's, you know, it's not strenuous, everyone, you know. And so I just knew when it was time, Pete, and I didn't want to go over my time and then be sad that I didn't go ahead and retire back then. So I've had a good run, man. I got so many trophies and I got so many watches. I still got the record of the Shrine Tournament where we won, 7 years in a row. Seven tournaments in a row. I got a watch for every one of them. I got so many watches, I gave my assistant coaches watches. And before I let it all go, before I let you guys go, I must send a shout-out to my high school coaches because, man, Rudell Wilson and Shauna Cabrillo's and Aaron Daniels, they mean, and Jack Ravis, they mean the world to me. They were with me doing that run at high school. And, man, you're talking about a group that when I come in and lay that practice plan out on the table, man, they jump right to it. Okay, I got these, I got this, I got that, and you got this. Okay, let's do it. And, I mean, man, it really made a difference. Chubb, if you ever get in that situation where you can get you one or two good coaches, it means the world. Believe me, it means the world to your success and your longevity. Because you have to work too hard when you don't. And remember that. So wherever avenue you go, first thing you do, see if you get as many assistant coaches as they'll let you have. And then the ones that they don't let you pay for, if you got a couple walk-ons that want to help, let them help. It can't do nothing but help you. Believe me.
Exactly.
So
I know when to go, Pete.
And it's about time to go now. I know we got to get off that air, but I knew when to go. But I cherish every moment I spend with you guys. I cherish every moment that the Lord has blessed me to work with kids and make a difference. So, hey, man, God's good, and I'm happy.
I know that's right, man. Chubb, you got anything else you want to add?
No, sure don't. We appreciate you, Coach, man. It's always good catching up with you, man, and getting advice and wisdom from you, man. We're looking forward to it, man. We right up the street, so I'll be keeping in touch with you.
Hey, do anything I can do to help you, know I will. And, hey, you guys help me just as much as I helped you. So, and my wife told me to tell you hi, and she hopes you're still drinking Kool-Aid. You think you got your pump shot time to make
Sugar Boy. Tell him I'm still Sugar Boy.
Sugar Boy. That was him. That's Darryl Crowder gave you that name. Wasn't it? Sugar Boy?
Yeah, he did.
Yes, that was Coach Darryl. Yeah,
that's
Coach Darryl gave me Sugar
gate.
Boy.
Yeah, that's when he come through the toll gate and wouldn't pay the toll, throw 3 pennies in the toll gate and kept grinding.
Yeah. He said, Pete, watch this.
Yep. Hey, acted like you threw it in there.
Yeah, and then hit the gas.
Yes, and then hit the gas. I was like, I don't think I want to go to Wagner no more.
Yeah, you start asking me, hey, Coach, can you take me? I don't want to. Yeah, man. We better get off here.
Oh,
man. God bless y'all. Y'all doing great, man. Hey, just keep up doing what you're doing, and keep keep the prayer in your mouth. Always keep him in your heart. So, so y'all take care.
Yes, sir, man. I wanna, thank you for coming on the air, Coach. And I just want to let you know, I was number one radio personality here in West Texas. Got professionally where I was working at. Now I got my own station. It's like that's what I'm doing now, which I had prior. But the radio station here in Lubbock came and picked me up. I had over 50,000 people listen to me every day between 2 to 7. And now it's getting to the point to where people just want to work with me and not the radio station. And it came to the point to where I'm going to be like you and own my own business and get back into sports. So you know, God is good. God is great. He always on time and never late. And I just thank God for people like you, you know, Coach Ron, Coach Allen, Luther, for the people that you guys was there. And to me, the most important years of my life, because I could have easily went astray and not really – would have not cared about anything. So salute to you, and I'm sure there's a lot of athletes out there that you've impacted that can say the same. But I just want to say thanks, Coach, and you have a great day, okay?
Hey, you do the same, man. Love y'all. Take care.
Love you too, Coach.
All right.
Alrighty, stay up, Coach.
Yeah.
Alrighty, Chubb Rock, man. Hey, Chubb, thank you for tuning in, man. We'll be back with you live next Tuesday. We got the Diamond Talk, and Chubby is going to go ahead and come up with some lessons that he can go ahead and teach the kids and try to get some recruitment in, man. So as far as that goes, have you guys heard of when you guys are going to open up the schools, or are you guys done for the year?
Yeah, we're done for the year. We actually pushed commencement back to December, so I'm sure now we're just waiting on word for the rest of the country, you know, if they're going to allow us to play summer ball. So summer ball, that's big. That's where pretty much majority of the recruiting comes from. So we'll see how it goes.
That's what's up, man. Say what?
I say your president wanting to open up the country again.
Hey, at first he was talking about he wanted to open up. Now he's saying if you open up your state, you're gonna be in trouble.
Hey, I saw on the news, Oklahoma, it says May 1st, the barber salons and all the hairstyles, a lot of places opening up May 1st.
Hey, they can go out there and die if they want to. I'm like, nah, because I'm going to go ahead and go get tested today, man. I was sitting up here today because, you know,